Ask whether people back home on the reserve in the summer when you were at home made deliberate efforts to teach you Anishinaabe ways to sort of halt the erosion that the school perpetrated on you. And you said some of them did?
Yeah, some of them did. I remember, you know, being in school, being the age of 7 and 8, and you know, these elders, actually my father, my parents hung around with these elders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say back in the 60s when I was 7 or 8 years old, my parents were about probably in their 40s, and they hung around with elders that
mm-hmm.
These elders were their 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so these were the sort of like the Anishinaabe cultural teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So my
had
father.
Have they gone to school too?
Some of them have, yeah,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
a lot of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they only spoke Anishinaabe.
Yeah.
So, but my parents hung around with these elders.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were Midewan,
mm-hmm.
some of them were, you know, pipe carriers,
mm-hmm.
drum carriers.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents looked after them, so. And then these elders would have ceremonies and stuff that my parents would participate
mm-hmm.
in. Yeah, I remember, you know, being 7 and 8 and in July or so, going over to, you know, to visit the elders and
mm-hmm.
they were holding ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I was told that some of these elders drank.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was sort of a, you know, they practiced these ceremonies, but there was still some kind of interference, some kind of disruption.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But I remember, you know, being a kid, going out to the land to pick blueberries and
mm-hmm.
going to fishing camps and stuff like that. My father would invite these elders to come to the camps with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wondered why he did that, you know. And I guess when I think about it now,
mm-hmm.
you know, these are elders that he had a deep respect for,
yeah.
And these are elders that that he learned, you know, some of the Anishinaabe tradition from.
And he wanted his kids to learn from too.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And I also heard that this one elder that he sort of looked after and invited to camps and stuff like that. This particular elder looked after him when
mm-hmm.
he was young,
mm-hmm.
when he was about 5 or 6 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I also found out now that some of these elders are the reincarnation of my younger brothers and sisters and the reincarnation of some of my nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that or several First Nations people that I know who had a pretty strong upbringing in their own traditions through their parents and grandparents often are very successful in both worlds.
Yes, I believe that.
Whereas people who sort of say changed over
mm-hmm.
often are not.
Yes,
because
yeah.
they're confused or so.
Yeah, they
you
don't know where they
too?
Are, yeah. Yes,
yeah?
Yeah, yeah. They don't know where they are, yeah.
Yeah. But it always seems that it is the strong background in their native culture that enables them to succeed in both.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
And it's not if they have a strong background in the white culture, well, that doesn't seem to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, basically, you know, I was told that in order to be successful, you have to have sort of a good, you know, you have to come from a good family,
mm-hmm.
you know, a strong family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what made you go into arts, you see?
I don't know, I guess I always wanted to, I was always drawing and painting whenever I got the opportunity to.
Yeah.
And then
do you remember when you started?
Yeah, I remember when I was about 4 years old, I remember drawing things with whatever I could get my hands on. Sometimes there'd be charcoal from the wood stove, would somehow get it out, or when that the fire had died out, I would sort of dig out the ashes and try to use the ashes as a pencil, or and then using 22 caliber or lead tipped bullets as a drawing pencil. So I was always wanting to draw and trying to think. I had these images in my head, I had these ideas in my head, and then I wanted to produce them visually onto something. And that was in my mind, in my thinking, even before I went to the residential school.
And did your parents encourage or discourage
No,
that, or
they
react
actually
to it?
they discouraged it.
Because it was messing up things, or
No, actually, what they were afraid of was that I would offend some of the spirits that I was
Oh, I
trying to
see.
visually
Oh, I see.
recreate.
Yeah.
So they were sort of afraid for me,
Yeah.
and they never really encouraged me to sort of visually reproduce those images. But again, in grade two, when I was in grade seven at the residential school, I had this kind-hearted school teacher. I remember one day
Mrs. Kingston.
Mrs. Kingston, she asked me, well, she asked the students one day, what would you like to do when you're an adult? What kind of career would you have? And I remember answering her, I want to be an artist. I want to paint, I want to draw. And I remember her saying, yes, you could do that. If you really want to do that, if that's what you want to do, you could do it. It is possible.
How did your community react to you becoming an artist? Were there others who've been artists before? I mean, professional artists?
No, in my
As a
community,
career?
there was no professional visual artist.
Did you have any role models?
No, well, actually, not in my community. I
Or
remember
Morrissey?
in 1968, being in grade eight,
Yeah.
I came upon a book called Legends of My People, the Great Ojibwe. And the information that was in this book came from an Anishinaabe guy who was probably about 31 or 30, at the age of 30 in 1968, and his name was Norval Morsel.
Yeah.
And I remember reading this book, looking at it, and I thought to myself, this is kind of neat, because here's a guy that sort of has the same ideas
Yeah.
I do,
Yeah.
and yet he's maybe about 25, 26 years older than I am.
Yeah.
So I became, influenced by him. I looked at his the illustrations that he did in this book, and read some of the things and some of the ideas that he had. And I thought, oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
This guy is doing something. He's painting. He's drawing. He's having exhibitions. He's selling his work. So I thought, yeah, this guy is something that I would like to do as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I only met the man twice, actually, in my lifetime.
No, but it must have been an encouragement to know, yes, there is somebody out there doing that. And asked about the reaction of your community. Were they
Well,
supportive, or did they think it was weird, or?
they weren't supportive,
No.
no, and they were, I guess they were indifferent to what I was
You
doing.
do your thing, and that's all.
That's it,
And is it so also, I mean, you do that thing off the reserve, so it doesn't concern you?
Yeah, so for many years I did my work off the reserve. I did most of my art career off the reserve, and it's only recently, in the last 4 years, that I've gone back to my community, back to my reserve. And in some ways, I heard people say, yes, we like what he's doing, and we sort of admire him for his so-called success.
You've been, I usually ask this question, well, bluntly put, any message to German listeners, but I'd like to make that more specific. You've been to Germany several times and you traveled to many, many countries in the world and in Europe. And if you sort of put that together in your mind, is there something that you would like to say to people here in terms of criticism or encouragement or something?
Actually, I think, for me, I always thought it was unique and nice that I would get an opportunity to travel, to meet people. And I sort of came up with this idea that that basically we're all the same, we're human. You know, I've met some very nice people in all over the world. You know, that treat you very kindly, that treat you like a human being. And so, I think people, you know, irregardless of where they live or what they do or what race they come from, what religious background that they have, I think it's very nice to travel in any part of the world and have these human values that are you know, very good or very encouraging. And again, you know, looking at human values. In some ways, looking at religious or spiritual values, they're basically the same, you know, anywhere you go. And I think, but for the West, you know, for Europe, you know, the Western part of the United States, I think in some ways. I would like to give the message or give the idea that that one shouldn't forget the natural world. I think it's dangerous to be detached away from the natural world. Sort of going into the cities of West Germany, you know. Going into the city like Frankfurt or Cologne, you know, into the cities. In some ways, I feel I feel detached from the natural world.
Yeah.
You know, going and walking on pavement or asphalt or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think people, you know, a lot of people, you know, have sort of developed a detachment.
Yeah.
From the natural world. So I think, but then again, you know, when I look at what's in Germany here, the idea of recycling, you know, which is something that's only starting to develop in Canada and parts of the United States. You know, so. But generally, I like to travel. Meet people, you know, and be treated like a human being, and I to treat them like a human being. You know. And in some ways, it's sort of saying, you know, there is no real difference, or there shouldn't be any barriers between myself and other people. You know.
The differences actually make it more interesting to me.
Oh, I see. Yes, yeah.
I mean the cultural differences,
yeah.
Because you can learn from each other.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, for me, sometimes when I think about it, for me, I think it's not two worlds, you know. You know, when I was younger, I used to always think, well, there's the Anishinaabe world and then there's the white world. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But then when I traveled to Southeast Asia and North Africa, I realized that, you know, it's not only Anishinaabe and white, but there's all these other things. So I'd like to, I remember traveling around in the jungles of Southeast Asia and realizing, you know, this is all one world, this is all one earth, you know. Yeah.
Well, anything else?
No, nothing.
Okay. Thank you.
And now it probably didn't record.